The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. Weren't you listening? Bert and I were listening as the choir sang, flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. Ed and Diana, a little further back in the pews, were listening as we heard, saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. So we begin on a New Year's Sunday, as Jonathan Edwards said, resolved to do nothing I would be afraid to do in the last hour of my life. I don't believe I quite heard yet your personal seasonal resolution. We'll come back to that. You still may be hunting and searching. The gospel is the gift of the Christ child to us. The gospel is God's gift of faith and of fellowship and of freedom beyond thought and beyond intuition and beyond demolition. If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for you, who is against you? But the gospel, odd, isn't it, is also our gift, gold, frankincense, myrrh, to the Christ child. The gospel heard and spoken and lived is our gift to Christ. Just as the story that Matthew remembered for the second chapter is Matthew's own gift to the Christ child. What a wonderful, beautiful narrative. Search and hunt they did, these wise folks. The very presence of the wise at the outset of the gospel is a rejection of fundamentalism. A rejection of fundamentalism, near and far, swinging like an angel's sword before the Garden of Eden. Here come the Magi, making sure that any gospel worthy of the name fears nothing human, fears nothing known, fears nothing knowable, fears nothing true. Biblicism be gone, say the kings. Their presence is the celebration of the liberal gospel, the gospel of liberality. That's your birthright. I'm looking at the loving people in the pews of Marsh Chapel, and I'm thinking of the radio audience and listenership. This is your birthright, Marsh Chapel, the gospel. Not that there is any other gospel. Honors what we know while admitting what we do not. The gospel, not that there is any other gospel, remembers our history, including its horrors. The gospel eschews easy measures of the divine which by definition is unmeasurable. The gospel has arms big enough to embrace the Big Bang, arms big enough to embrace evolution, arms big enough to embrace real random chance, arms big enough to embrace the unknowable God in whose love alone we are at all known. To be good news, the gospel must be true. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. To be good news, the gospel must be good and news. Searching for such can be exhausting to you, to any searcher. Following a star at night out to the east, following forever through truth and science and history and psychology, hunting for the hidden. Our five grandchildren and their overseers visited us for Christmas. The oldest is five, the leader of the cousins' pack. In the morning, I heard them playing hide and seek. She taught them a bird song. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. We heard it earlier. But after a while, she, although the oldest, was tired of looking, and she couldn't find them where they were, in a closet or underneath the bed. And when running out of energy, she taught them to call out. It's a little call and response. This is not unfamiliar to a church tradition, call and response. If she couldn't find them, she'd sing a little song. And it went like this, if she couldn't find them. Can you give me a little tweet, tweet? And then sometimes they'd answer, and sometimes they wouldn't. But then from behind the corner, you'd hear sometimes, tweet, tweet. Can you give me a little tweet, tweet? The gospel is not only the Christ gift to us, the gospel is our gift to the Christ, gold and frankincense and myrrh gold to start. The gospel is our spoken gift of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you may think that this is an overly Lutheran interpretation of a day that's fit especially for Ignatius of Loyola and the visual and light and brilliance. But Luther would remind us that it's in the voice that we know faith, in the hearing and speaking that we know faith, in the bird song. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. And every bird sings faith over the globe through all time. So Thurman loved his penguins, odd and remote. Listen, along the Charles in the spring, make way for goslings and ducklings. Mid-island in Bermuda, I hear the song. Early in the summer mornings out in the land currently under the death cloud of possible hydrofracking where we live in the summer, at dawn, a rooster, unmistakable. Two eagles singing together, they mate for life, you know, soaring. I can only imagine their music. The gospel is that beauty of a bird in song. The owl at night, a swan song, silver swan, living had no note. The gospel is a bird in song, and all nature sings. Even if or when the preaching of the gospel by human imperfection abates, as it does threaten to do now and then, bird song will carry the tune. You know, there are some reasons, I suppose, to skip church. And there are some reasons in the space of 4,000 earthly Sundays, I suppose, to skip faith. But let's not let that happen to us this coming year. Faith is only real gold, real faith, when it's all you have to go on. Yes, Ignatius would love the star, but Luther would mark the voice, the sound, the birdsong of searching, inquiring, wise, questing, serious, real faith, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Do you notice right at the beginning of this gospel that the first to find him, the Magi, are not Jews at all? They are wise folk from the East, Persians, not religious in that sense, that biblical sense at all. Some of our most natural gospel hearers and speakers today are not necessarily religious. Some of them may even carry the name tag atheist in the sense in which early Christians were called the same, because they, early Christians and others today, do not accept the false pantheon of Greco-Roman or modern gods, so-called. No. The Magi are the wise. They are not religious, at least in the biblical sense. Matthew, though usually misunderstood otherwise, those doing their PhD exams take account, Matthew is a Gentile gospel. The Magi come first. Light centrally shines chapter by chapter. The book is written in Greek. Its Mount Sermon celebrates Greek wisdom and Greek discipline. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall because, wisely, it was founded upon the rock. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it did fall, and great was the fall of it. That's the Greek interest in wisdom you hear. And in this gospel, what else? The Sabbath is overrated. The only sign the natives deserve is that of Jonah. The disciples dish traditions of elders. The greatest faith is the Gentile woman willing to take the dog crumbs that the table guests despise. The faithful followers, they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And by the way, make sure to render your taxes to Caesar. Matthew's endless explanations of kosher requirements is made, as is his whole gospel, for Gentile Greek ears. I will not even pause to recite the damnation of woe given to scribes and Pharisees at the end. Matthew is writing in Greek for a universal audience. His universalism would make Plato blush and proud. So we begin. Not just gold of faith, but frankincense of fellowship. As Jonathan Edwards says, resolved to do nothing I would be afraid to do in the last hour of my life. I don't quite think I heard the resolution that you're making. What was it? There are no freelance Christians. If nothing else, for sure, the child, the wise visit, makes space in life for real fellowship. Flocks were sleeping. The church is a working fellowship, as Marsh Chapel is today. Isaiah foretold it. Here in 3rd Isaiah, read earlier, who remembers Isaiah chapter 60 does, remembers the bird song of 2nd Isaiah, who came before, and carries the tune back into Jerusalem after the return from exile, probably written about after 538. When another, by the way, 538, another wise Persian, Cyrus, sometimes called the Christ of God, freed the people of Israel from bondage in Babylon. The birth of the Christ, note gold and frankincense in the Isaiah reading, is meant to connect us to that hope for universal liberation. This year, every Sunday, we are here to sing the song, ring the bell, and sound the trumpet, to lift the voice. Because there may be people near you who need to see your example of light and salt. You may need this Sunday to see the example of kindness in the faces and voices of women and men in the pews of Marsh Chapel. Kind people here, kind women here, kind men here, doing unto others as they would have done to themselves, seeking lasting wisdom with joy. So join us in these winter and spring months. Come on Martin Luther King Sunday and hear our dear friend Dr. Fluker, or on Monday here in the Student Center and celebrate the King of Marsh Plaza. Come on February 9th. Now, usually we do this on Groundhog Day, February 2nd, a very favorite day of mine. But this year, our skating will be held on February 9th, right here on the plaza itself. You come and you join with us and celebrate. In March, here at Marsh, we will invite you to come and sing hymns in the Lynn home of Alice and Uria. They'd love to see you. It's a midwinter delight. The music is wonderful, birdsong, the celebration and the refreshments are great. Resolve this in 2013. Come for brunch and marathon on Patriots Day in April to our home, but resolve generally. I will be in church. I will be listening. I will be listening for the birdsong of the gospel this and every Sunday, 2013. Wise men seek him still. It is trite, but it is true. You find faith in fellowship and vice versa. At Marsh, we minimize meetings, committee structures, organization. We find our fellowship across the university. We take our education in the university. We partner in service through the university. We don't want to be found sitting on a whale fishing for minnows. We enjoy the whale itself. Come and join us. It's a great way to give and to live and to give and live the gospel. Here, Universal liberation is identified and spoken. Gay people are people here. Lay people are people here. The eight words my beloved Methodism needs to hear and live for survival. Gay people are people. Lay people are people. I refer you to the sermon coming January 27th, 2013. We begin not only with gold and frankincense, but also with myrrh. As Jonathan Edwards said, resolved to do nothing I would be afraid to do in the last hour of my life. I don't quite believe I heard the resolution that you're making yet. Resolve 2013. Not only in belief and belonging, but also in behavior. Let's name it this way to be current. Leave behind debt and leave behind regret. On January 1st, 1863, here in Boston, at the Boston Music Hall, Frederick Douglass and many others sang together. You remember why they were singing. The Handel and Haydn Society sang. One of their members was Harriet Beecher Stowe, who sang right along, January 1st, 1863. Why their bird song? Why their good news of great joy? Why in the cradle of liberty such singing? Emancipation. Real change is real hard, but it does come, and said Lincoln a month before, December 1862. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the present, stormy present. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. She wrote and had us sing, "He is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. It's wisdom to the mighty, honor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool, and the soul of wrong his slave. The truth is marching on." Regret is the shortest definition I know of hell. Regret is the shortest definition I know of hell. Let your regrets be few. Prize your time, your body, and your heart. To thine own self be true. That's Shakespeare, by the way, not the Bible. Let us leave behind the regret of gun violence, the regret of the dehumanization of gays, the regret of environmental predation, the regret of children in poverty, the regret of unruly rogue nations, the regret of selfish living. Let your freedom be not only the freedom of the will, but the freeing of the will across the globe. And debt? Debt is the surest measure, I know, of hell. Debt is an actuarial prison. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. That is Shakespeare, by the way, not the Bible. An undergraduate degree is a wonderful thing, but be careful how much debt you incur for such a wonderful thing. Travel light, cloak and staff. Be careful with debt. Yes, I'm also concerned about the national debt. I am a $4 trillion budget with a $3 trillion income. That doesn't seem to add up to me. Even churches balance their budgets. I have 35 years of experience with December Finance Committee conversations, which the financial secretary says the Lord will provide, and the treasurer says the Lord and who else, and you compromise. A little bit more income, a little bit less spending. It can be done. It is done. Get rid of your debt. Get rid of your regret this year. Find the freedom to live in love. That is the gift of myrrh. You know, we've been here 6.5 years in New England. We love it. I love the games, the game of hide and seek, for instance. I'm hunting for you. I'm looking for you. I see so many of you. But there are others out there. I'm hunting for you along Beacon Street. I'm hunting for you on the North Shore. I'm hunting for you over a bagel and coffee down Cape Cod. I'm hunting for you out in Newton enjoying the music of the Marsh Choir and in Coro Novo and the organ and all. I'm hunting for you. Against the fierce New England wind of post-Christian secularism, righteous anti-religious fervor, mixtures of bad Calvinism or Catholicism, Sunday hockey, and a kind of intellectual life that is always just short of wonder, just short of mystery, just short of the magi wisdom. I'm hunting for you, south, north, west. Where are you? I don't find you yet. Getting a little tired. I search, but you're too well hidden. Can you give me a little tweet, tweet? Choir, can you give me a little tweet, tweet? Congregation, can you give me a little tweet, tweet? Radio congregation will be listening. Can you give me a little tweet, tweet? The father of neo-biblicism, Karl Barth, said, "The gospel is the freedom of a bird in flight," but we'll sing it this way this morning. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song, in faith and fellowship and freedom, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. The gospel is the beauty of a bird in song. The gospel is the beauty of birdsong. Amen.